I'm Christine Dean, and this is Live from Studio A, and I am very happy to welcome back to our studios Mary Bew, who has been here so many times. She used to live in Duluth, and we've loved following your adventures as you've gone from Duluth to the Twin Cities to Seattle to back to the Twin Cities. And yeah,
thank you so much. I'm so glad to be here.
Yeah, it's wonderful to have you here. And you have a new album in the works,
yes,
right?
Yes. It's called The World Is Your Lover. It's completely recorded, and it's just been a journey trying to figure out how to put it out this time. So it'll probably come out in the spring of 2020.
Okay.
Yeah, so a little bit more of a wait, but all right. I'm so excited.
Yeah, well, looking forward to that for sure. Well, why don't we have you get started with a song?
All right.
And I'm excited because not only do you have your guitar, but you have a new instrument today, the harmonium.
The harmonium.
Which you picked up. Did you get that in India?
I got it in India. Yep. All right. Well, in Benares.
Well, yes. We'll have to talk more about that, but sure. What do you want to get started with here?
I think I'll actually start with guitar just because... Well, just because.
Yeah, why not?
this will be a song off the new album. Just a quick adjustment here. It's called, well, radio-friendly version. It's called Big Storm.
You know, last time you were here, you had to edit a song, too.
I know. I just love...
I have no problem with that, though.
Love the language. All right, here goes. I walked for miles on this parched earth, once flowed with lava, then a river burst. And now the snow falls on the sage. When that big storm comes, the earth's gotta rage. I had a vision, the Great Lakes were drained, Superior deserts was her new name. Eagles cry, barn owls screech. When that big storm comes, it's not gonna be good. Oh my God, have you forsaken me? All the gods are laughing now as the earth starts cracking and her bones start snapping and the walls come crashing down. Ooh, ooh. Oh, my love, he's a brutal force. You can hear him coming on his big black horse, and he's got friends high and low. But when that big storm comes, well, they all gotta go. Oh my God, have you forsaken me? All the gods are laughing now as the earth starts cracking and the bones start snapping and the walls come crashing down. To tear down the walls, I prayed in Shemayo, protect those I love. I bow to the east, I bow to the west. When that big storm comes, nobody's gonna be left. Yeah, I pray to Ganesha to tear down the walls. I prayed in Shemayo, protect those I love. I bow to the east, I bow to the west. When that big storm comes, nobody's gonna be left. Oh my God, have you forsaken me? All the gods are laughing now as the earth starts cracking and her bones start starts snapping and the walls come crashing down. Ooh.
Mary View live from Studio A. Wow, that one's intense.
Yes.
Where did that come from?
It was sort of a download from, I lived in Taos, New Mexico briefly, mm-hmm. and I would walk along the Rio Grande River Gorge like almost every day. And it was sort of, I would it would be like barren and no one around, and it, like songs would just like kind of come down. And so it was partly that, but it was also like, I actually, when I lived in Duluth, I had this weird vision. I was driving down Central Entrance where it opens up by the Coppertop Church, and the lake was gone and it was a desert. And,
oh my.
Yeah. And I was like, this could happen, you know? And so that was a long time ago. But it's sort of, you know, an apocalyptic, little happy apocalyptic number.
That's exactly the word I would have used to describe it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's really well done though.
Thank you.
A little frightening, but
yeah.
good.
Thank you.
But very, very good. So you mentioned New Mexico. You had done a workshop there, artist residence, I guess is what I'm trying to say. So, and that's one of the songs that came out of that experience.
Yes.
Very cool. And so since you were last here, you've had a lot of changes. And at that time, you owned a yoga studio and you were kind of fitting in music where you could. And you've kind of flipped that script now. And you said, you know what? I want to do music again.
Yes.
More.
Yeah. Yes. The studio was it was like quite a lifesaver in many ways, because I had the opportunity to start it. And I knew at some point in my life I'd want to do that. And it just kind of fell into my lap. And so I had a reason to move down, and then things in my personal life kind of fell apart. And then, but then, so it was like a good community to fall into and like have this really positive container to build. But it just wasn't like, it wasn't taking off. And there's so much awesome yoga in the Twin Cities. And so I just thought, well, music is like my heart and like true passion. So why don't I just let other people who really want to own a yoga studio do that, and then I'll come back to my heart. And so then I met my producer and my manager, who I'm not working with anymore, but he introduced me to a bunch of amazing musicians. And so I got Steve Price from The Suburbs. He produced my new album and played bass on it. And then Jeremy Ilvesacker. And he plays with, well, he's opening with Eric Koskinen for Bob Seger tonight.
Nice. I saw that Eric was opening for Bob Seger.
Amazing.
Yeah.
And Jeremy's played with Andrew Bird and Haley and Jenny Lewis, who you just played on my drive up. Mm-hmm. And then Richard Medick on drums. And he drummed for Kevin Costner, the actor.
Wow.
<I know. laughs> And then Shannon Freed from Cloud Cult. And Julia Floberg on cello, who like does her own like amazing poetry stuff, and Crystal Meisinger on harmony.
Wow, that is just an array of people.
Yeah. Oh, and then Adam Levy came and did a song,
nice.
A duet.
So were you playing? Did you play with those people? I think I've seen a lot of those names outside of on your Facebook, outside of recording the album. Have you performed with a lot with many of them?
Yeah, so when we started recording, that's kind of how we all meshed together. And I had known Shannon and Julia and Crystal prior. But the gentleman I all sort of met to record the album. But then we started playing out as we were recording. So it's meshed and formed,
and you get to keep working with them. I just think of it as, you know, you've mentioned all the cool things that they've done, and it can be hard to like hang on to people in your band, you know, in a busy market like the Twin
Absolutely.
Cities. So it sounds like you've got them for a little bit anyway.
Yeah, yeah, and they're, you know, they play with they they're musicians, session musicians, so they, you know, they're always taking things, and it's just locking in the date when they can do it and that type of thing. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, and you've played with bands before, but this is some different people. So
right.
what has this done musically for you? Like how?
Yeah.
Does it change how you hear things? Does it change how you think about your songs when you have a whole different palette to work with?
Yes. And I like honor and love all of my previous band formations, and I'm so grateful for everyone that I've had the chance to make music with. And so this was really different that someone curated the band, and it was actually really like hard because I was playing a lot with friends, and I was like, well, I have this manager, and you know, he curated this whole new thing for the new album, and so it was sort of like breakups in some ways, but those some relationships have been salvaged. But yeah, it was like a really challenging professional decision, I guess. But the what they brought is like, you know, so many of them are professional session musicians, so they have like a different ear and like many ideas and so many layers of sound that they're able to like introduce. So we had a lot to choose from. Yeah.
Nice.
Yes.
And how many songs did you record for the album?
I recorded 12, but I have two from this B-side thing that I did for my Kickstarter that I might put on there too.
Mm-hmm.
So it could be a really long one. I haven't done my last full length had 8 songs, and then I did an EP that had 4. So I haven't had a 14 song album in a really long time. So,
well, and you've done a lot of cool things other than letting go of the yoga studio. Mm-hmm. You went on a trip to India,
yes,
which looked amazing.
Oh,
tell me
God.
More about that and how that might have, other than finding the harmonium,
yeah,
there, how that has brought influenced your music. I can't
yeah.
get that word out. For
yeah,
some
well, it's, well, I'm planning to go back in January. There's a style of yoga called Nada Yoga, yoga of sound, and it looks at mantras, which I'm going to sing one for your audience today. So sacred mantras, and looks at the layers of silence and like the internal sound. So each person has like their own sound vibration, and like learning how to like really deeply meditate and like figure out what that sound is and like be able to feel that. And then there are seed mantras that are like, if you think of like a seed, how it like holds the potential for like huge growth and like possibility. So you can encapsulate an entire symbol in what's called a seed, a bija mantra. So like the archetype of like the deity Lakshmi has Shreem is her seed mantra. And so if you're saying that, you're like invoking the entire symbol of Lakshmi, all of the things that she is, but just in this tiny seed word, like a syllable. So it's so I'm planning to go back in January and study that and take a training on that. But India, being there before, was it was an exploration of life and death, really. Like, it's so different. Like America, I feel like really we're very sterile, and like we cover up a lot of hard things, and that's good in some ways. Like, it's cleanliness and hygiene, you know, are different. There you could find like a roll-up dentist on the side, on the curb of the street, like doing someone's filling on the side of the road.
Mm-hmm.
And we walked through a cremation site, the Mani Karnika Ghat in Banaras, and 300 bodies are cremated out in the open every day in the city, and you can walk through and see the like families mourning and people being cremated and their ashes like going into the Ganges, and it's, you know, it's like sickness and death and birth and dentistry and like the smells and the colors, and it's just like so many people, and it was amazing. And like at the end of, you know, 6 p.m. we'd go back to our room and be like exhausted.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
because your senses are,
yes,
just overwhelmed with all this difference. And
yes,
I imagine.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And then also being like a white spiritual woman, and you know, I'm like a yoga teacher, and I'm like, I am such a cliche, and I'm like, how do I, and I almost wanted to stop teaching yoga because I felt like I'm, well, appropriating / like I don't know enough, even though I've been teaching for 10 years now and I like deeply study it and love it. And but then like I read some books about like yogic masters, how they wanted people in the West to have it, to study it because it's so beneficial for all of humanity and like all, especially here and I mean everywhere, but like we've got a lot of neuroses going on here.
Yeah, yeah.
Self-included.
And when you're talking about yoga, I know enough about it to know that a lot of us just think of the physical asanas. Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
But there are all these different limbs of yoga. And I think that you kind of have gotten into that part of it as well. So you're not just focusing on the on that one limb that so many people focus on. But so.
Yes. Yeah. It's lifelong. It's fascinating.
Yeah.
It's beautiful.
Wow. Well, and I love how you have incorporated these experiences into your work, even that last song you're talking about, Ganesha.
Ganesha,
yeah. And things that you've been studying for a long time.
Thank you.
Well, let's hear another tune. Do you want to, is this the mantra one?
Yeah,
is
I'll this do
the,
this. Okay. Just a quick little word about Sanskrit. I am no scholar by any means, but it's an energetic language, and each word has kind of like what I was saying about the seed mantras. Each word has so many different meanings and like so many different translations. And this mantra that I'm going to sing is loosely translated to mean I've been singing it or chanting it before my yoga classes, and I learned it in my teacher training. So it translates to, may we be protected, may we be nourished, may our intellects be stimulated, may we practice together with enthusiasm, and may we practice together without animosity. And then Om, which is like the primordial sound of the universe, and Shanti, 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 which Shanti means peace. So we'll get that going. The harmonium, we'll talk about that after I play, I guess.
Sahana Bhavatu, Sahana Bhunaktu, Sahaviryan Karvavahai, Tejasvina Tamastu Mavidvirshavahai Om Shanti Shanti Shanti
That's Mary View live from Studio A. And are you including things like that on the new album?
No.
Okay. Oh, okay.
Although I have a side thing. It's on Bandcamp and it's free download called Songs for Shavasana and Unending Bliss. Mm. And that has a mantra and a song I wrote for Shavasana and then a...
Which is, okay, I know this part. It's corpse pose, right?
Corpse pose.
Where you're just lying. It's like how you end your yoga, just lying there.
Yes.
Comfortably on the floor.
Yes,
breathing.
Letting it all integrate, doing nothing.
Yeah.
And then, so I haven't recorded this one yet, but I'm putting another mantra on there. And, these will start coming out more.
Okay. Yeah. So it's a part of what you do, but it's not. Yeah. Yeah. Let's talk about the harmonium.
Okay.
I don't remember if we've had one in here before. Cool. I know I've seen other local artists play them occasionally. So
yeah.
I could be forgetting, but tell me more about. And there's a bellows involved.
Yes. Yeah. So it's sort of like a mini organ or an accordion, but it sits flat on the ground. And it has a bellows, so you're pumping it with one hand so the air can come through. And then that powers these reeds, these wooden reeds. I don't know if I'm using the right terms. And then it also has drones. Like, you can get smaller ones, but I went for the big. And it has drones, so you can pull out a stop, and it just holds that down. And then you're able to play on top of that drone.
Nice, okay.
So there are different tones. And the... the scale, like the harmonic scale, again, I'm not a scholar and I'm not an ethnomusicologist, but it's, as far as I understand, it's like similar to the Western scale, but they use like a little different, flats, different notes are flatted. Okay. But again, I'm going to study this more intensely so I know what I'm talking about.
Well, and you've been playing keyboards for a really long time, so you would know, you're probably noticing that, you know.
Yeah, the drones, I'm like, oh, geez, what key is that in when I pull it out? So then I have to figure that out. And so a lot of learning. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, wonderful. And did you record the album before you got the harmonium?
Yes.
Okay,
yes,
so no harmonium on there at all.
No, unfortunately. Yeah,
that's okay, though.
I bought it like the day, or I bought it. I finished the album like the day before my trip.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Nice. Well, tell me more about the songs for the album. Did you have a lot saved up? Had you been writing a lot?
Yeah, so there were quite a few saved up. There were quite a few from like the mid-2000s when I was living here and in Seattle that never really fit anywhere. And so there's a song called The River Man. There's the Jerk song, which is a sequel to the Gorgeous song, if you remember that song.
Oh, yeah, that's one of my favorites. I've always loved that one. The Jerk song?
Yep, yep. Hmm. Well, it's called Jerk, but...
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm intrigued.
Yep. And let's see what else is on there. The duet with Adam Levy. It's called "It's a Competition." I wish I would have brought my ukulele to play that one, but it's kind of like a back and forth, being really tongue in cheek about like how competitive you are, even in the game of love, even in like the game of life, and like, but in ultimately nature doesn't really care about like if we're competitive or winning or not, because nature is like its own thing. Oh, there are some themes of like nature taking over and like kind of an environmental bent to it, but also like humanistic sort of take care of yourself feminist thing going on too.
Nice.
Yeah,
great. Well, and we'll probably talk more about that once it's done and you're out there touring behind it in the future.
I know. It's going to be a little while, but
so how has that been since you and you're still doing yoga stuff? You're doing you're doing a retreat in Bali, which sounded amazing. So you still are fitting that into your life. It's still a source of income for you and adventure. So what are you doing with your music now that the album is done but not out yet?
Right.
You're doing a lot of shows.
Yeah, I have quite a few shows in the next couple of months. I have a monthly residency at the Hook and Ladder in Minneapolis, so every third Wednesday. And that is kind of by, it's off Lake Street in Minnehaha, like by the new Moon Palace Books, which is super cool if anyone gets down there soon. So that's this coming Wednesday. I'm playing at Twin Cities Veg Fest. I'm vegan, so I'm like super excited to support and sing at that festival. That's this Sunday. What else is going on? I've started teaching beginner piano and guitar lessons too, so just a little couple of side hustles going. But that's been really, really cool to watch people learn, and different styles of learning, from 5-year-olds to 70-year-olds.
Have you done that before?
No.
You hadn't done piano lessons like that before?
No. Oh, okay. And I wish I would have here, because people are like, why didn't you do that when you lived in Duluth? And actually, I got asked a few times, but I just didn't want to go there. My mom taught piano lessons, and I don't know what my stigma was about it, but I love it. It's great.
So has your mom given you any advice for teaching?
A little bit, yeah. A little
bit. I love that.
She's She's always got good wisdom.
Is it safe to assume she's the one that taught you how to play piano then?
She bribed me to take... She hates when I tell this story. She bribed me to take lessons. I would not take from her, but I took from my neighbor. Yep.
Yeah, that seems about right.
Yeah, I think like... even when parents are in the same room as their child when they're getting lessons, like there's a different vibe. Mm-hmm. Like I feel like it's more comfortable for the students to work with someone other than their parent. I don't know, maybe not. But that's just something I've observed. Mm-hmm. And to like have like their own private space, because there's like the energy, like the cheering parents or the parents who like wants to discipline, or, you know, I'm not a mother, but I just see it happen.
Yeah. And there's none of that pressure. And right. When you're learning a new skill, it can be kind of daunting and,
totally.
And vulnerable and
absolutely.
All of those things.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we have time for one more. What do you want to wrap up with here, Mary?
I'm going to play a really old song from East to the Sea, and I'm going to play it on the harmonium. It's called Mr. Animus. All right, let's see here. Came here the last time I cried over you, Mr. Animus, Mr. Super Truth, looking down upon the city, cars parked and mittens on. I don't want you to worry this time. I've died enough already, and death is getting on with his suitcase and shoes, Mr. Animus. Mr. Super Truth, looking down upon the city, cars parked and mittens on. I don't want you to worry, this time I won't drive off. I've died enough of, and death is getting on with his suitcase and shoes, Mr. Animus. With his suitcase and shoes, Mr. Animus. With his suitcase and shoes, Mr. Animus.
That's Mary Bew live from Studio A. I love that you're incorporating that into some of your older songs.
Thank you.
Kind of must give it a new, give you a new approach to it.
For sure. It's fun.
Life. Well, and when you're working on with older songs, do you see them differently than when you wrote them?
Yes. Well, some of them are prophetic.
Really?
Yeah. Or some, like, I'm like, what was that even about? And then, like, I'm like, oh, I learned that now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it's like a process.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very cool. Well, thank you so much, Mary.
Oh, my God. My pleasure. This was a blast.
Yeah. This was really fun. Well, thanks so much, Mary. It's always a pleasure to have you here.
So fun to see you. Thank you, Christine.
Really looking forward to that new album, The World Is Your Lover, which will hopefully be out in the spring. Looking forward to that.
For sure. Thank you.
Today's live from from Studio A was produced by me, Christine Dean, with help from Jack Hartford, Andrew Schmidt, and Emma Gilhausen, with funding provided by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. To check out upcoming guests or to listen to previous sessions, go to KUMD.org and click on Live from Studio A under Programs. This is Live from Studio A on 103.3 KUMD. Thanks for listening.